Part of me wants to ask the same question that we just sang. Have you decided to follow Jesus? Sometimes that means we walk in places where we're not sure. Sometimes that means we walk in places that we'd rather not go. You see, when Jesus goes, the best life that you can hope for, the best that you always will have, is if you follow Jesus. I've been there, I've walked away, and I've come back. It's not easy. Walking the path that Jesus has for us is difficult. I was listening this morning to the devotion from Lectio 365, and if you're not using that, I want to encourage you to use that. If you want some help with that, I know plenty of people that can help you with that. But the verse this morning was all about come and buy food and milk at no price with those of you who have nothing. Come and buy all you can eat. I'm paraphrasing Isaiah 51 or 58 verse 1. And as I sat and thought about it, as I was listening to the devotion this morning, you can come to God and get the best of everything without paying for it. Except that you got to give your life. So I want you to listen to this scripture, Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 21, reading down through verse 28. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. But whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come to in his Father's glory with his angels. And then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Truly, I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." I know as I read that passage that many of you might have thought, oh, here the pastor goes with another message on discipleship, telling us how we need to be better disciples and how we need to grow in discipleship. But there's something more here that shows us something. There's something more here. It's about a different way. It's about a way that we don't think about sometimes. It's about a different understanding. I must preface this message with this word. Jerry knows this, and Jan knows this, and I know Kathy knows it, and the choir's familiar with it. I picked out the topic, made a title, and this sermon 4 months ago. I did not do it this week. 4 months ago, I sat down with the scriptures for this Sunday from the lectionary, and I looked at them and I said, Lord, which one do we need to hear out of these four passages? Which one is the most important 4 months from now for us to hear? And God impressed upon my heart through the Holy Spirit that this was the passage. You may not realize it yet, but it overwhelmed me that this was the passage as I sat down to look at it this week. Because you see, on Monday of this week, we found out that the Lilly Foundation is not going to give us a grant to help us pay for the sabbatical. And I know some of you might say, well, there goes the sabbatical. Well, here's my answer to that. Let me use a story from Thomas Edison that some of you have already heard me share. Thomas Edison was trying to invent the light bulb. And they were trying to figure out what filament would work in the bulb so that it would light. They tried 1,000 different materials, and none of them worked. Thomas Edison's lab assistant came to him and said, "We might as well give up. We've tried 1,000 different things, and we'll probably never find it." And Thomas Edison said this, "No. We now know 1,000 things that don't work. The list is much shorter." And I hope you realize we got light bulbs, right? If he had followed the advice of his lab assistant, we wouldn't have light bulbs. Maybe. Maybe somebody else would have figured it out. So as we found out this week that the Lilly Foundation is not going to provide funds for what the church wants to do for a sabbatical, you know what we found out? We found out that one door closed. That does not mean that all the rest of them also closed too. Amen. That does not mean that at all. That's why this message is important for us to hear. Because it's a different understanding than what Peter could grab a hold of. You see, Jesus tells the disciples about the path ahead for him. And he tells them that that path is nothing but hardship and death. Nothing but that. He says he's going to be killed. He says on the third day he will be raised. But he says that hardship, death, problems. Now I know that there's plenty of preachers that you can listen to that teach when you come to Jesus, everything's a bed of roses and you'll never have problems again and you'll have all the money you ever need for the rest of your life if you follow Jesus. How does this fit in with what Jesus says then? It doesn't. Those two things don't fit together. But Peter thought that Jesus got it wrong. Peter was so aware that Jesus got it wrong. Because the Messiah wouldn't suffer. The Messiah wouldn't be put to death. The Messiah came to free the people. The Messiah came to bring blessing and honor and glory and peace and comfort. Never hardship and death. So Peter rebukes Jesus for stating this is God's plan. Now, could you watch that happen? The God of all the universe says, here's the plan going forward. Here's the plan that's going to happen. Here is what's going to happen to me once I get to Jerusalem. And Peter, fisherman he is, fishermen are very wise and smart, correct? Some of you laughed at that. Fishermen, and Peter says, Lord, come here. Come here. You got it wrong. That's what he says. I mean, listen to what Peter says. It says in verse 22, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, this shall never happen to you. Now, to me, that would just be interesting to watch, wouldn't it? Calling Jesus off to the side. Remember, now, Peter's watched him heal people. Peter's watched miracles. Peter's watched all kinds of things that Jesus has done. And he says, come here. You're wrong. How many of you are willing to stand face to face with God of the universe and say you're wrong? You got it wrong. You got to get your life straight. You don't understand. You don't get what's going on. You see, Peter's surprised to find out God's plan is different than what he thought. Peter's surprised. Peter had this idea of a warrior who comes and throws off the Roman rule. Peter had this idea of beds of roses and no problems the rest of his life because he followed Jesus. And Jesus has shared something that's different than what Peter thought. Has that ever happened for you? You've got one thing in mind about how things are going to work out. You've got one thing in mind about how things are going to go forward. You've got one way that things can work. And it doesn't happen. Well, I guess maybe it's time to call God off to the side and rebuke him. What do you think? Jerry says, not today. As you can tell, Jerry must have told God a few things every once in a while about God being wrong because he's almost got him by hitting him by lightning. You see, Peter tells him, you're wrong. Because Peter was surprised to find out it was different. It was going to work out different than what he thought. And then Jesus turns the table on him and rebukes him. Jesus then rebukes Peter for looking at things from a human viewpoint. From a human understanding. Now, if I had happened to read the passage right before this, do you know what happens right before this in the gospel? Jesus comes to the disciples and says, who do people say that I am? Oh, they say you're Elijah. They say you're Moses. They say you're a great and wonderful miracle worker. They say that you're, and Jesus says, well, who do people say that I am? Now, what I'm concerned about is who do you think that I am? And Peter says, you are the Son of God. And only by you will salvation come. And Jesus tells him, you didn't get that on your own. The Holy Spirit quickened your heart to bring that answer. You're right, Peter. But the Holy Spirit quickened your heart to bring that answer. And then right after this, Peter rebukes Jesus for getting it wrong. Right after Peter was lifted to a very high pedestal about how great he was to understand what God had in plan and what God had in store, and Peter says, Lord, you got it wrong. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. Now, Satan, whether you realize it or not, not talking about the individual, but Satan's a Hebrew word. It's a word that appears in the first couple of chapters of Job. And it says there, the Satan, which in Hebrew is ha-Satan. Satan means the adversary. The one who's working against the plans of God. The one who's trying to destroy the plans of God. He looks at Peter and says, "You are my adversary. Get behind me." In what you just said, you're my adversary. Get behind me. And then he goes on to tell the disciples, if you want to come after me, you've got to deny yourself. You've got to take up your cross daily, and you've got to follow me. Is he not telling Peter the same thing? You got out in front of me. You didn't understand what was going on. Peter, get behind me. Stop being the adversary. Get behind me and follow where I step. If there's hardship and death for Jesus, there's no less for us. How many of you, since you've started your Christian life and walked your Christian life, have had hardships? In spite of walking with Jesus. You have, haven't you? Jesus never promised that there would not be any hardships. If we are following Jesus, there's going to be hardships. Why is there going to be hardships? Because the world and Satan is trying to work against what God is doing. And if God can keep you so messed up, so busy, so problematic, if Satan can do that, you can't talk to other people about what God can do. Because you're so wrapped up in all of these problems and issues and that you don't feel like stepping out and talking about God. You know what? I've had more problems since I became a Christian than I did beforehand. Jesus said that would happen. Because Satan's trying to keep me busy and wrapped up in problems instead of moving forward, instead of following Jesus. And oftentimes, because I had a different understanding of how it should work out, and when my understanding gets destroyed, then I'm lost. I don't know where to step next. Because that was my understanding. Where God may be saying, step right here, right now. And all I'm thinking about is, no, this got destroyed. I can't go forward. I sent you an email out this past week that first went to the pastor church relations team and the staff. And then I sent a copy to you if you're on the email list. I'm not changing any plans for what we have discussed about to do for this church. All the plans that we have put together, the team and the staff and myself, have very confidently understood them to be from God. Now, we didn't lay out all the details of exactly how it was going to work, did we? But we thought we knew how it was going to work. And now we've come to a place where there's a different understanding. So what do we do? Do we stand up and go, well, God, I guess that's not what you wanted? Let me look at it another way. For those of you that are financially conscious, which is just about everybody in this world, we asked for a grant of almost $38,000. Only $15,000 of that was for the church and what the church had plans to do during the 3 months that I will be gone next year. The rest of the money was for Deanne and I for the plans that we had for the sabbatical. So here's what I'm going to tell you. Deanne and I have already got the money. That $22,000 that was part of that grant, we've already got it. We will be able to do everything that we have planned. Already there. Some in the church might say, well, we don't have that $15,000, so the church can't do their part. Here's what I'm going to ask you. If that's God's plan, and that's God's desire, and God's will for this church to step into this study about prayer and learn more about prayer while I'm off studying about prayer, so that when we come back together, there will be an incredible dynamic that we can talk about things. Do we give up on what God has planned for $15,000? Are we willing to say, well, God told us wrong? Or we understood wrong? Because the God I know, $15,000 isn't even a drop in the bucket that God can supply. Like I said, we know one door that's closed. It doesn't mean all the other doors got closed at the same time. Our understanding is different than what we thought it was going to be. We figured it out. We'll get the Lilly Foundation to pay for it. And they said, very pleasantly, they said, we received a great number of wonderful proposals. Unfortunately, we didn't choose yours.
But God is right.
I believe that what God has told us is what we need to do. In spite of the fact that the Lilly Foundation is not going to give us the money to do it. They didn't call our proposal bad. They said it was a good proposal. Folks, what will we do? Peter had this understanding that the Messiah wouldn't die. That the Messiah wouldn't have hardships and problems. And Peter rebuked the Lord for that. Peter rebuked him because he had it figured out one way. And this is the one way that it works. And God had a different plan. And I'm thankful for the different plan. God's will turned out to be something different than what Peter thought. It was going to be done another way. I've got to tell you that when I received the email on Monday, I was disappointed. Dan and I got the money to do what we want to do. But I'm more than happy to let the Lilly Foundation pay for it. That didn't bother me at all. But I was disappointed. That night as I lay down to go to sleep, an overwhelming feeling of peace came over me. And it still exists to this day. And an overwhelming thankfulness came out of me. I couldn't go to sleep for a while thanking God for how God was working things out. Thanking God for what God was doing. Thanking God for the last year that I had time to spend with a team of people that are fantastic. The pastor church relations team is a fantastic team. You should be very proud of those folks. They raised above and beyond where they needed to be. They did lots of work. We revised, we edited, we revised again, we edited. They did some incredible work. And I am awesome thankful for what they've done. I'm awesome thankful for the process, because it made me think out every jot and tittle for the 3 months that I won't be here. Day one, I know exactly what I'll be doing. Day 10, I know exactly what I'll be doing. It's already laid out. I don't spend the first couple of weeks trying to figure out, okay, the church gave me 3 months to relax, to refresh, to renew. Now, what do I do with it? I already know. That's where this thankfulness came from. Here's what I'm asking you to think about today. What do we do when we find out God's will is different than what we thought? What do we do when we find out God's will is different from what we thought? We had a path picked out. We knew it was going to work that way. And now we find out, no, it's not going to. Folks, are you ready for a journey? Because we've got an exciting journey going on. The Pastor Church Relations team and the staff start this Wednesday, or this Thursday, to put everything in place for next year. They're starting on the study of the book so that they can be small group leaders for you for next April, May, and June. We're starting. It's time to put the plans in action. And we're going to. How about you? What will you do when you find out things are different? Will you still follow what God asked us to do? Will you still follow Jesus, or are you going to pull God aside and rebuke God for not giving us the right path, the right understanding? It's time for you to decide. I made my decision. Now it's time for you. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, in one way we're at a place of crossroads. In one way we're at a place where we can throw our hands up and say, that's it. Had some nice plans, but they won't work out now. In one way we can do as Peter did and say, Lord, why did you lead us wrong? Or why, Lord, do you have the wrong idea? And in another way, Lord, we can deepen our trust in you and watch how you work. We can follow this path that, once again, we're not sure where it all leads. We can walk behind you and walk along with you. So, Lord, show us what each one of us needs to do, that we might make a deeper commitment to follow you. For you see, Lord, the cross is not a burden that we bear. But Lord, it's a cross that we pick up and decide to carry. Help us, even if it's a struggle, help us to step forward. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.